This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, we're back, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, the second hour. If you've never listened before, well, you're in for a treat. We've got Matt Sell with us today from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And let's see, he's calling from his... Oh, you got him locked in? Very good. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Alan. How are you today?
Good. Calling from your place up near Deep Creek Lake, are you?
Well, I'm in the office in Frostburg, but close enough.
That's close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. So... Matt, tell everybody your title ahead of time.
Okay. I am the brook trout biologist for Fishery Service here.
The brook trout biologist. Okay. The guy.
well, some people say that.
Now, look, I was teasing you on stage the other day about the size of the fish that you mess with. And I think what I say, they were about, what, 6 or 7 inches long, something like that. But
yeah. That's
not actually untrue, is it? I mean, there's...
Well,
those little native brook trouts in those little tiny mountain streams, they don't get much bigger than about 10 inches, do they?
In many cases, no. We're finding, though, as some of these fish are getting a little older than we previously ever thought they would.
Yeah.
And given the opportunity to get into some habitats that allow them to grow
mm-hmm.
a little more.
Right.
We're in the last few years, especially out this way in the Savage River area, we've been pretty consistently getting 12 plus inch fish.
That's nice fish.
Yeah,
that's
up
nice
to
fish.
I've personally caught a few that were in the 14 inch range, and there's always those fish stories of the ones that got away.
Sure, there's bigger fish out there now.
Yes, sir.
Is this the same the species as we find in the wild rivers in Canada that get 5-6 pound world record size stuff? Is it the same fish?
Same fish.
Okay.
they just have different. A different habitat to live in.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a goldfish. The bigger the bowl you put them in, the bigger they get.
Sort of.
Okay. Food, of course, has a lot to do with it.
Yep, food and being able to be in the right temperature year-round.
Yep, okay.
Allows them to grow. You put them in an area on the edge of their range, like we're in the southern half of their range.
Mm-hmm.
Their growing season's a little bit shorter.
Sure. So. Now, brook trout, correct me if I'm wrong, and I often am, the brook trout is actually a member of the char family. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So we see Arctic char. We see these critters that run up the streams, like everybody calls them salmon and that type of thing, but they're actually a char. Those are the fish that are absolutely gorgeous, and the little brook trout kind of keep that beauty as far as nature is concerned. The black back and the orange fins and the white accents, the coloration is just spectacular. The little worm trails all over them, actually spectacular looking fish when they get to be mature.
Yes, they are, in my opinion, the prettiest freshwater fish that we have.
That's your opinion because you're the biologist.
Yeah, I may be a partial.
You're just a little partial that way. Yeah,
yeah.
So. I'm sure you are. By the way, my compliments. Great job on the stage the other day at the Maryland Fishing Challenge. I know that was kind of an interesting deal, handing off from one to the other. Different aspects of the challenge, and you did a great job with your side of that deal with the kids and everything. That was spectacular. And then you got to hand out all those great Costa sunglasses. Did you wind up getting a pair?
No.
I didn't either.
No, I came home with a pat on the back.
I was lucky to escape with a T-shirt. So.
That's it. I was okay with that. And likewise, you did a phenomenal job as well.
Well, I try to engage the crowd a little bit, you know. And that guy that won the boat, that Rick guy, he was amazing, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't think you could have scripted a better reaction.
He kind of made the whole deal. He kind of made the whole show right there.
Yep,
so.
He's the kind of fellow you're extremely happy to see win a boat.
Exactly right. Exactly.
He genuinely enjoyed and appreciated it.
Yes,
that.
He did. No question about it.
Yep.
So very good. All right, let's talk more about brook trout. How many places do we have in Maryland to catch wild brook trout?
Well, we have fewer places than we did, say, 200 years ago.
Obviously, sure.
Their range has shrunk pretty substantially since the days of the settlement of Maryland. however, we do still have some pretty good populations scattered across the state. Moving east to west, I would say... pretty much if you're looking in the eastern, central to eastern part of the state, the Gunpowder River has probably some of the strongest populations that we have. There are a few spattered around here and there, but the name of the game, once you get down out of the mountains here, is that they're very isolated. We have, you know, a tributary here, a tributary there,
right.
Whether it be loss of habitat to urbanization to exotic brown trout showing up and out-competing them for the good habitat that's there. There's just a myriad of problems that these little guys face trying to just survive in the face of everything. And we're fortunate in that they have. Particularly, like I say, in the Piedmont region, the Gunpowder River watershed is probably their stronghold, and it's best known for its brown trout fisheries.
So, well... I don't know. I never shared this with you. I think I might have told the listeners at one point. Way back, late 70s, I was selling bait. It was early 80s. I was selling advertising in Pennsylvania, and I was up in Indiana, Pennsylvania. There was a fellow up there that had a bait shop, and his place where he kept his shiners and minnows was an overflow from a spring-fed pond, which was great. This was a little concrete run. There was always a spillway. He kept his minnows in there. The water temperature was good. But, you know, like anything else, he would go in there once a day, every couple of days, and he'd get out the dead minnows and shiners that were, you know, floating on top, and he'd just take them up and toss them in the pond. Well, in that pond, he had rainbow trout about, I don't know, 14, 15 inches. He had brook trout, 9, 10 inches, and several big brown trout that were 20 inches or so. I mean, these were big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of stacked they stacked up, and they kind of stayed separate from each other when they were doing their thing in the pond. But when he'd walk up there with a can full of minnows and start throwing them over the fence, these fish would come swimming up to where they were normally used to being fed. So, you know, the little minnows would go in, the brook trout would come up and smack them, and then, you know, he'd start throwing the shiners in, the rainbows would come up. And this whole time I'm watching this, brown trout are just kind of hanging back, and they're just, okay, we'll go up there now and get our big shiners, you know. They came slowly swimming up, and he tossed a minnow over, and a brook trout grabbed a minnow, and as the brook trout turned to head to the depths of the pond, a brown trout grabbed the brook trout, and in three gulps, the brook trout was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly what you're talking about with the brown trout. They'll eat anything that's pretty much not bigger than they are.
That's been my experience as well.
And the brook trout is like a filet mignon to those guys. So,
yes, and really the average-sized brook trout here in Maryland, overall average, you know, a lot of those 4 to 5 inch
sure.
little guys that you find in those tributaries up in the mountains.
Yeah.
I actually, when I'm fishing for big brown trout, I'm tying articulated streamers that are 4 and 5 inches long.
That look like brook trout.
Yeah. maybe not necessarily designed to look like brook trout, but hopefully, in for my case, something that at least looks edible.
Yeah, like a sculpin or something, whatever they eat, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But, yeah, tell me a little bit more about the Gunpowder. The Gunpowder runs from Pretty Boy Reservoir into Loch Raven Reservoir, correct?
Yeah, it flows on down through there and
then becomes the Jones Falls.
Yes. Yes.
Now, do we have brook trout in Jones Falls?
We have brook trout kind of spattered around.
Okay.
Once again, the dominant species all throughout the gunpowder is going to be your brown trout.
Sure.
However, a few of the tributaries do have some brook trout hanging on.
Sure.
The more we sample, the more we research these guys, the more we realize that they are still just barely hanging on.
Yeah, it's well, yeah.
But there are some portions of the gunpowder, particularly the headwaters, the upper gunpowder,
mm-hmm.
that still have some watersheds that are only brook trout. The browns miraculously haven't found their way in there yet, and you know, we still do have some strongholds for them there. So,
right.
In the face of everything else, they're really doing pretty well and as well as they can be for that region. So.
Sure, sure. Believe it or not, Kathy, my wife, loved to fish for native brook trout, and we occasionally would take a trip up into the mountains of Pennsylvania. She knew a spot up in central Pennsylvania somewhere, I guess, that she had fished with her dad years ago. And we'd go up there and we'd sneak up on these brook trout, and it was actually amazing. If you'd find a hole, you could see, you know, a couple dozen fish in there.
Mm.
And it was just amazing to watch them. And you just used, you know, little tiny hooks and you pressed the barbs down on them and you got them out and you flipped them back in and just, but she loved that kind of stuff, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've had that little experience crawling along on your hands and knees and, you know, ultralight tackle and that type of thing. So it's fascinating to do that because you know that is a true native, United States, 100% fish that we have right here that hasn't been brought from somewhere else like the brown trout has been or hasn't been stocked by, you know, well-meaning, you know, fisheries officials like we do here for the put-and-take trout season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been it's very, you know, very humbling to see that beautiful little fish and then be able to put it back in. It's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
So on that, we do have to take our first break, Matt, so hang in there with us. And let me tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. Did I give the phone number when I did that the last time? Let me give that first, and it's 410-242-6108. They're ready for hunting season. They've got the Kota Bow crossbows. They've got the Parker bows. They've got the Quest G5s. But I want to tell you about the Browning firearms. It's time to get ready for hunting season. The BPS pump shotgun, available in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models. If you like a pump-action shotgun, you can get the BPS bottom ejection shotgun from Browning. Bottom ejection, DuraTouch armor coating, and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity camo. And it comes with 3 Invector Plus choke tubes. If you like the pump, very reasonably priced for a pump shotgun, you'll enjoy using yours. In the semi-autos, they carry the Maxxis, also available in Mossy Oak, the Gold 10-gauge, also available in Mossy Oak, and then the Humpback, the A5. It's available in camo, black synthetic, or, you know, the standard wood and blue steel. The A5 Humpback, that's right, it's a 12-gauge shotgun, has a 100,000 round or a 5-year guarantee. It's the reintroduction of the old famous A5, and you will love shooting that thing. You talk to Billy, the owner of Clyde Sports Shop, or Clyde, Billy's the waterfowl hunter, he's going to tell you, nothing better than the A5. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Now, Chesapeake Outdoors, you know how hot it's been. Not everybody's been bow hunting, but there have been some, and they're killing some really nice bucks out there. But if you'd like to get ready, well, check out the line of Matthew Solo Cam bows from Chesapeake Outdoors. They've got the Creed XS and all the new ones. That's right. They carry Parker, too. Not only Parker compound bows, but Parker crossbows, Barnett, Carbon Express, Mission, and Excalibur crossbows. Full line of firearms for waterfowl and deer, ammo to match, muzzleloaders, and all the supplies, too. Don't forget the accessories and broadheads and arrows for your archery selection. Fishing tackle, live bait, and crabbing gear, all right there at Chesapeake Outdoors. And don't forget, they carry the big old Bubba Blade knives if you like to fillet and release. Where are they located? Well, they're located on Kent Island, Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. You'll see the sign before you get to the exit. Turn right on the exit, go around the block, and you're in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. Their professional and friendly staff will be more than glad to help you with your selection. 410-604-2500, 604-2500. And it's time for me to tell you once again about the Crisfield Outdoor Expo. Featuring John Godwin. You know him. He's the guy from A&E's Duck Dynasty. Saturday, October 11th, 2014 at Summers Cove Marina from 10 to 7 in Crisfield, Maryland. Crisfield Outdoors Expo is a family-friendly day celebrating the outdoors, hunting and fishing, retrievers and duck calling demonstrations, and good food, too. Contests include duck picking. How do you like that? Bow and arrow, decoy retrieving, and a Duck Dynasty look-alike contest. Go duck hunting in the morning and then head to Crisfield for the Crisfield Outdoor Expo. Visit them online, crisfieldoutdoorexpo.com, or check them out on Facebook. See you there on October 11th, 2014.
This is Alan Ellis. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity scent. And Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estra spray is still number one to attract bucks. The detonator is a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent. Hang it on a nearby limb and bring the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estra scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss Les Consolving's Uninhibited Radio, now on Sunday nights at 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
How high's the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? she said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past their knees.
Matt Sell, DNR Fisheries, with the brook trout biologist. I think I introduced you as the brook trout biologist, didn't I?
I believe so.
I believe you did. Did you join the Maryland Hunting Coalition yet?
Not yet.
Why?
Well, if you put me on the spot,
I'm not putting you on the spot.
Come up with as many excuses as possible.
No, don't even bother. Don't bother. It's okay.
Excuses are just that.
I'm just messing with you, man. But I did show you a picture of Laura's deer, didn't I?
Yes
I did. Yeah, and if anybody wants to see that, you can go to the Facebook page for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. That's MD Hunting Coalition. I got to get that plug in there this hour because it is an important endeavor that we're doing here and getting some widespread support across the state. We Matt, I don't know if you Facebook, but we launched our Facebook page on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
507 likes. I just checked it.
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah,
now we need to match the 507 likes with members. You know, everybody that likes needs to join, which is also free. So,
well, you just need to set up your membership to be done by the click of a mouse, and the easier the better. You may get your 500 members pretty quickly.
Oh, we'll get them quickly. We ask them to fill out a little online form and submit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, name, address, and what the kind of game they like to pursue. Because we need that information when we stand in the halls of Annapolis. So that's the only reason why. I mean, we could probably get 1,000 members if all they had to do is click. But no, I'm serious. But we like to qualify them just a little bit, and it's not. You know, we don't do anything with the information. We don't share it with any marketers or anything like that. And hunters in general are reluctant to get involved politically, and we understand that. But they're not getting involved. They're getting involved with us, and we're engaging politically. So, all right, back to brook trout. You talked about gunpowder. That's right here in Baltimore County for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to come this way to fish, do you fish for brook trout in Western Maryland differently than you fish for them in the gunpowder?
Well, I think you fish for them. I mean, to actually fish for them,
yeah,
they're all about the same. They're still the same little critter,
right?
And it doesn't really matter where you're at. However, I will say that as you move west from the gunpowder,
right,
there's kind of some no man's land with just a few isolated pockets until you hit about the Catoctins,
right.
And in the Frederick-Hagerstown area, that's probably your best bet to find some brook trout. Fortunately, a fair bit of that is also on publicly owned property.
Right.
So access is very good, which can be very limiting in the gunpowder area, as you well know.
Sure.
And then to really get into brook trout, high densities, good numbers, and great access, getting out here to Garrett County really is probably your best bet.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. But to fish for these guys, they're I've been fortunate in my life to be able to grow up in a family that has fished a lot, specifically for trout.
Yeah.
I fished a lot for trout, and I'm also very fortunate to have a beautiful wife at home that is also as patient as she is beautiful and has allowed me to continue my endeavors. So I'm sure my phone will probably blow up from that comment.
I'm sure it will, but other than that, you'll be fine.
Yes, so. But I have been fortunate to be able to fish for trout, brook trout, anything that swims really for a long time and without much in the way of rains on me. And I've got a lot of experience with
as long as you're out there fishing, Matt. You know, you're not hanging out in the bars with people of ill repute.
Well, that's
You know, she's got to let you go fishing.
That's it. And our kids like to go. Well, my daughter does. My little boy, I'm assuming, will.
he's kind of a fry right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he had her wide awake when I walked out of the house at 5:30.
Yep. So yeah, he's bait size.
Yeah, so. He's still figuring out his days and nights.
Yep, I got you. So, all right. Well, I'll ask you your favorite method of fishing for brook trout.
favorite method, I'm to the point I like to fly fish for them.
Okay.
Just because, as I was saying there, I've been fortunate to get to go a lot. So
sure.
I've caught them with worms. I've caught them with inline spinners. I've caught them with flies. I've caught them in most ways that you could pretty well imagine to catch brook trout.
Right.
And at this point, I like to fly fish for them, which that's just personal preference.
Yeah, sure it is. I mean, is you're not fishing for meat, you know?
No, it's the fillets on a brook trout, because of the fact the whole fish isn't that big, are more fish nuggets than real fillets.
Well, they're kind of like chipmunks. I mean, you got to get a whole batch of them to make a meal.
Yes, yes.
So,
that's it. And considering the fact that they've been facing the myriad of problems that have kind of really limited where they can be.
Yeah. Now, does whirling disease and what's that slick stuff on the rock snot and that type of stuff, does that affect them at all?
Well, the whirling disease, it can affect them, but they're not as susceptible as the
stock,
specifically like the rainbow.
Yeah,
trout.
The stock run, hatchery rainbows, right?
Yeah, and the whirling or the rock snot, the didymo.
Didymo, yeah, that's it.
It doesn't necessarily affect the trout specifically, but
right.
What it does is it can destroy the habitat because
exactly.
It coats the substrate,
yep.
Makes it and really. You know, there are studies showing that it has an impact, studies showing that it doesn't have much of an impact on the fishery. However, the big thing there with the didymo is when you have extensive didymo, it becomes extremely difficult just to fish.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're going to go in your butt. Exactly.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Hang on there, Matt. Take a little break, and we'll be right back. Okay. What do I have to tell the folks about the Crisfield Outdoor Expo featuring John Godwin? You know John Godwin from A&E's Duck Dynasty? Yeah, he's the big guy with the little white beard. You know, they're always giving him a hard time. And he's the guy that wanted to make a... I forget. I don't watch it that much. But, you know, you guys from Duck Dynasty, you'll love meeting this guy. He's a great man. And you can meet him on October 11th at Summers Cove Marina in Crisfield from 10 to 7. The Crisfield Outdoors Expo is a family-friendly day celebrating the outdoors, hunting, and fishing. There'll be retrievers and the duck calling demonstrations and good food, too. And contests include duck picking. There's a bow and arrow championship. Decoy retrieving. Yeah, that's a boat-oriented deal, so that's kind of cool. And a Duck Dynasty look-alike contest. So grow your beard between now and October 11th and see if you can look like Willie Robertson between now and then. And you can learn more at ChrisfieldOutdoorExpo.com or hit them on Facebook. Crisfield Outdoor Expo is coming October 11th in Crisfield at Summers Cove Marina. Be there. We will be.
Areas of showers already showing up on radar in northern Virginia and western Maryland. It's going to keep a wet Saturday in the region. Highs today at 71, partly cloudy tonight, a low 53. Sunshine tomorrow, 74, dry Monday, upper 70s. Richard DeWettig at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Here's a thought as you ready your fall wardrobe. Buy less. Many designers and brands believe a buy less but better movement is brewing. A generation of consumers has grown up wearing what is often referred to as fast fashion, trendy, inexpensive versions of runway looks that shoppers wear for one season or one occasion and then toss. Now, many of these shoppers are graduating to a philosophy of quality, not quantity. In an appeal to the changing mindset, a number of retailers are encouraging shoppers to build simpler, smaller, and longer-lasting wardrobes. Some are featuring edited assortments and fewer promotions, while promising higher quality fabrics, better construction, and transparency about sourcing and manufacturing. The retail industry's own statistics suggest a shift in consumer spending habits is starting to take root. While we're spending more each year on clothes than ever before, the quantity has leveled off since the 2005 peak. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
WCBM Baltimore.
What if I told you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. Diabetic11.com. People who have followed this plan at diabetic11.com reportedly have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. Diabetic11.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. Diabetic11.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. Diabetic11.com gives you 3 specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at diabetic11.com. Watch for free at diabetic11.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes meds at diabetic11.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into 3 regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Fishing worms, fishing worms. Everybody's wishing they had fishing worms. Find them in the garden, turn over a rock, slip them in your sandwich, put them in your sock. That's fishing worms, fishing worms.
Noah, our producer, is headbanging with this one, Matt, for some reason. Hey, we got a caller on the line. Hold on there, Matt. Good morning, Dale in Easton. How are you, sir?
Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great. You have a question for Matt?
I have a couple questions for Matt. One, Matt, how far east did brook trout range historically? I know there used to be a small population in one of the tributaries to the Severn, but I don't imagine they were ever over here as far east on the eastern shore. But to your knowledge, how far east did they range?
Yes, they the historical range prior to our messing it up, they made it about as far as the fall line. They didn't really they couldn't make it out onto the coastal plain,
okay.
But from the Piedmont west. Historically, if we're talking 200 years ago, whenever all of our watersheds were forested, these fish would inhabit everything from the large rivers all the way up to the tiniest headwater streams.
Yeah, that's when Dale used to catch them.
Yeah, there used to be that, like I said, that one little tributary off the Severn. I don't know whether they're still there or not.
That, if you told me a stream name, I could probably help you more.
I didn't want to
Oh, he didn't want to reveal that.
Yeah,
he didn't. I got you.
Yep, yeah, that's and that's fine. It's all right to keep those little hidden gems.
Yeah, yeah. My second question, Matt, revolves around management. I know in my many conversations with Don Costin, one of his major points of contention was dealing with brook trout management out in Western Maryland in terms of the management plan and all. He had many a lively battle with some of the locals out there, and I just wonder if that has simmered or a lot of those problems have been resolved.
Yeah, whenever the no-kill regulations were originally enacted on the Savage River, there was a lot of kickback from primarily the local Western Maryland folks that didn't like it because of the tradition of being able to take out a can of worms and be able to fish for brook trout and to harvest some brook trout, maybe have a shore lunch or take a couple home for the frying pan on a Saturday morning, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Folks believe what they believe, and they still believe that way. I don't know that we've necessarily changed a lot of minds, nor is that what we want to do, but the regulations were enacted because the Savage and its tribs are the stronghold for brook trout.
Right.
So we with the decreasing range of brook trout, you know, range-wide, from north to south, particularly here in Maryland, that's the best of the best that we have left, and we felt it necessary to do something.
It must have calmed down a little bit because I think Don said, well, maybe I'll hang on a few more years. he must have settled some of the natives down a little bit.
Yeah.
I saw Don out at the fishing challenge. I didn't have a chance to talk to him. I was up on the stage, and when I turned around, he was gone. But, you know, there was I'll tell you what, I don't know. I think we had maybe one or two or three brook trout checked in for the fishing challenge, Matt. Do you recall?
I know of one person, a young fellow, came up to me after the event was over, had a citation for a 13-inch brook trout.
That's a nice brook trout.
That he caught. It was a very nice one. And I had another fellow come up and talk to me about trout and about brook trout.
Right.
But I don't know that he was there because of a brook trout.
Right, of course. Mm. Yeah.
But to my knowledge, you know, there was only the one that really came up and spoke to me about it.
Yeah. Mm. We're getting ready to promote wild trout fishing here in Maryland in a little bigger way, hopefully online, and hopefully Matt will be able to help us with that and you know, get some other resources out there and start talking about our wild trout program and what Matt does. But Dale, any other questions?
No. Just want to wish Matt continued success and hope he enjoys himself as much as I did.
I'm sure he will.
All right. Thanks,
buddy. Thanks, Dale. I'll talk to you later.
See
you. Yep. See
ya.
There he goes. All right. Matt?
Yes, sir.
We're going to switch gears. Unless there's something very specific that you would like to talk about for a few moments, we're going to switch gears and talk about something just a little bit bigger than a brook trout.
Okay. Yeah. I would say just in a quick summary, for folks who want to catch brook trout here in Maryland, a couple rules of thumb. Fish upstream. These fish are wild fish. They're not stocked fish.
Right.
They're used to evading predators at all costs.
Yep.
So fish upstream because they face upstream.
Right.
Sneak in closer. And if you can get in there undetected and make a cast without the fish knowing you're there, they like to eat. They're pretty opportunistic little critters.
Right.
So,
best favorite fly, match the hatch?
Favorite fly, you don't have to match the hatch with these guys.
Okay. They're char, right?
Yeah.
I got you.
Little black woolly bugger will work great on a fly rod.
Okay.
A deer hair caddis, if you like a dry fly, and about a number 16.
Okay.
And if you're talking spinning tackle, Panther Martin, any sort of small inline spinner.
Okay.
But please just, we ask that folks who, whether you're fishing spinners, if you have the garden hackle on or fly fishing, whatever, if you don't intend to keep the fish where you're legally allowed to do so, just go ahead and pinch the barbs down. It's amazing the difference just in unhooking time and damage to the fish itself that you can save if you just pinch the barbs.
Right. Yep. Okay. Very good.
That's about it. Just if people ask me all the time, how do you catch trout? You know, way to catch trout. First and foremost is I always tell folks, well, turn around and start fishing upstream.
That's right.
Because you can get closer, you can make better casts. fish don't know you're there. And if they don't know you're there and you can make a good presentation, they're probably going to bite.
Sure. And keeping that, if you do fish with an inline spinner, I have one more recommendation, and that's take that treble hook off, replace it with a single hook, and press the barb down.
Even better.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yep, exactly. Okay, very good. We're going to switch gears now, and we're going to talk about, you know, I was just thinking, if brook trout could somehow attain a size that was bigger than brown trout, I mean, revenge would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, they're char. They'll eat a brown trout if they can get one.
It would be quite the changing of the guard.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And not to mention, I would love to catch
a 20-pound brook trout.
Yeah.
Use brown trout for bait. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll start time articulated brown trout flies.
Yeah, there you go. All right, very good. We have, before we can move on, we have a question from Gary in Severn about brook trout. Where at, Gary, in the Castleman River?
In the Castleman, yes. Good morning, folks.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I occasionally catch a brook trout in the Castleman River.
Yes.
And I've been told that there's a private stretch of, or there's some fishery down in the Pennsylvania area that stocks brook trout. I don't know. I'm just wondering what's going on there, or are they natives from the little creeks that feed it, or what?
Yeah, there's one of a couple of options there for you. Pennsylvania does still stock brook trout around the state, and I believe they do stock brook trout in the Castleman itself. And brook trout are, even the hatchery fish are inquisitive by nature. It's just, it's built into them. And they will move upstream. And there have been studies in Pennsylvania, actually, that have shown stock trout moving at 30, 40 miles from where they were stocked. Remarkable movements. So it could possibly be a stock fish coming from Pennsylvania, but also the headwaters of the Castleman up in the North Branch, South Branch area, and then some of the tributaries coming into it along the way have a wild brook trout here in Maryland. So it could have been one or the other. And without it's typically fairly easy to tell a hatchery fish from a wild fish just looking at their fins. And there's some indicators there that'll tell you. But without actually seeing the fish, I would say if it was a 13 or 14-inch brook trout in the Castleman, odds are it was a stocked fish from Pennsylvania. But
I've seen them both ways. I've caught you know, larger ones, you know, 12-inch type, and I've also gotten them, you know, 4 inches.
So,
yeah.
Gary, thank you. Look, we got to move along with Matt here. We got one other issue we got to cover, and then we got to take a break here at the end. So I appreciate the call, buddy.
Sure. Right.
Stay in touch. Bye-bye. Okay, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Big fish. What do you got going on in Deep Creek?
Well, we have been catching more of hook and line catching, some pretty large northern pike. And what's interesting about that is that we are at the southern tip of the range for northerns.
Yes.
And it's not often that you can expect to have the longevity of these fish to attain that magical 40-inch mark and larger.
Right.
But what we're finding is now that I've really focused my personal recreational efforts on these guys, that they're there. And it's interesting. And there's some questions that need answered.
Okay.
In regards to that fishery. So our sampling itself, our electrofishing, we'll occasionally pick a fish up here and there.
Right.
But we don't get enough to really make any real inferences as far as what the population's like, size structure, you know, any real life history information about these fish in particular. So what I've done is I've started tagging some fish with some Floyd tags.
Okay.
Basically, I'm going out as I'm fishing for these guys. If I catch a fish that's bigger than 26 inches long, we're putting a little yellow Floyd tag along the dorsal fin on their back.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just a tag number and my phone number on it. And we're asking folks that if you're out there fishing and you catch one of these tag northerns, that you pay attention, have a rough idea where you caught the fish on the lake.
Right.
And if you can jot down the tag number when you caught it and give us a call. At the number that's on the tag, which is also, I'll have some signs posted around the lake, boat launches and all, but the phone number will be there. Just, you know, jot down how long the fish was, if you can, to the nearest half inch, And, you know, whether you kept it, released it, give me a call, give me the information about it. And that's going to help us to learn some new information about this pretty unique fishery that's growing some really, really nice fish.
Got a question for you.
Shoot.
Have you ever eaten northern pike?
Yes, in Canada, I have.
Yes, me too.
Yes.
And where does the first fillet come off, do you know?
The first fillet in Canada came right off the top of the back.
Right off the top of the back, exactly right. Yep. Correct. Make that first cut right in front of the dorsal fin, take it, and go. Okay, you got it. You did it right.
Excellent. Well, that
the reason that first fillet comes off the top of the back is because the little Y bones that come out from the spine into the sides, and you can avoid those by taking the first fillet off the top and then getting under those Y bones and filleting off the rest of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, see, I know stuff. Believe it or not, I know stuff. But now it's time for me to tell the folks about Chesapeake Outdoors one more time, located at Exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, off of Route 50 eastbound. Very simple to get to. You'll see the big green-looking sign alongside the road and the big parking lot on your right before you get to the exit. You just make that exit, and boom, you're in the parking lot, ready to go. Firearms, full line of firearms for waterfowl, for deer, you name it, they've got it. Crossbows from Mission, Barnett, Parker, Excalibur, and the new one from Carbon Express, and, of course, vertical compound bows from Parker and also, Matthew Solo Camp. So check that out. Custom cut arrows, crossbow arrows, all your bow accessories, and they'll tune it and they'll put all the accessories on for you. Muzzle loaders and supplies too. Full line of clothing by Drake and Under Armour, and even Bubba Blade knives. All kinds of fishing supply, crabbing gear, and bait at Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500. The friendly staff will help you with your selection. 410-604-2500. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number there is 410-242-6108. If you need it for fishing or hunting or crabbing, Clyde Sports Shop has it. Simply said, full line Browning dealer, Thompson Center muzzle loaders, a complete selection of hunting firearms from all major brands, and handguns, selection again from all major handgun manufacturers. They'll walk you through the process for your firearm for personal or home protection or for any type of hunting. Clyde Sports Shop, again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just up Beltway exit 9, 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline, 247-3474-247. Fish is the 24-hour fishing hotline. Clyde Sports Shop, go see him. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hi, this is Dave Serio. Every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m., the show is called You Ought to Know. Expert information on the repair of vehicles, flea market, and your phone calls. The most powerful names in talk, You Ought to Know. Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Oh, Mississippi, she's calling my name.
All right, we're back with Matt Sell from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He is our brook trout biologist with a passion for big toothy critters.
Yes, sir.
big northern pike, and you've actually initiated your own tagging program, I'm sure, with the blessings of the department, to find out more about our northern pike population in Deep Creek Lake.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yep, and it's getting pike time right now.
It's getting there. These guys are cold water fish. They particularly the big ones. They're different. The little guys you can catch in some warm water. They tolerate it better.
But hammer handles.
Yes. But when you're talking about the fish that I'm most concerned with, those ones that'll test my musky gear. They like it in the 60s or colder. So you
use brook trout for bait?
I don't. I don't recommend it.
No.
You can paint up a large glide bait to look like a brook trout, maybe.
There you go.
They're probably not used to seeing brook trout.
Probably rainbow. They like to eat rainbows. That's for sure.
They do like their rainbow trout.
I know that. So. All right. Well, good. Matt, I want to tell you, you're doing a great job out there, and we appreciate you joining us here on the Outdoors and Radio Show today. Any closing comments? I mean, you want to wrap it up with any advice to our fishermen?
Go fishing.
That's a good one.
It's always a great day to go fishing. I have the boat patiently waiting in the garage. As soon as I get home this morning, I'm heading to the lake.
So
get out there, catch some fish, have fun. Take some time, chase the brook trout. They're a really cool and unique resource here that. Some folks chase them, but a lot of folks don't. And I'd like to see more folks out there. And like you mentioned before, chasing our only native salmonid species we have here in Maryland. In my opinion, the most beautiful fish in the state.
They are pretty, no question about it. All right, Matt, very good. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's Matt Sell, S-E-L-L, and I'm sure you're available at the office out there in Frostburg to talk to folks if they ever want to call.
Hey, I'm always happy to talk about fishing.
There you go. Matt, I'm coming up to see you one of these days. We're going to go for a northern pike and maybe do a little bow hunting and whatever else is available out there. Maybe some grouse.
That sounds great.
I'd probably rather do the grouse than the bow hunting, quite frankly.
Well, I'll help you as much as I can.
You're a good man, Matt Sell. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem at all, Alan.
All right, thanks for joining us, and we're time for us to tell the folks, get out, stay out, and stay safe. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Don't forget, mdhuntingcoalition.org.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry.